All right. Good morning, one and all. Good to see you. Glad you're here today. And we're going to look into the scripture a little bit here and continuing this Family Matters sermon series. We're coming sort of to the end, but we're not all the way there yet. So next Sunday is Palm Sunday. We're going to talk about what that means and a message from the book of Matthew about Jesus' triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. Following week is Easter already, so we'll be looking at the resurrection that week, appropriately so. The following week we'll have one last sermon in this Family Matters series, and then the next week is our child dedication service, which will be just one service at 11 o'clock with Sunday school before it. We're not canceling Sunday school or anything, and we'll talk about raising children once again. That's actually what we're talking about today. So that's where we're going. And I think it's been good to really take a look at families and how important they are and what we can do to build strong families. And so if you go online and do an internet search for something like principles of success or how do I become successful, you're going to find no shortage of books and papers and articles and blogs that give hints and ideas of what are the best ways to set yourself up for success as you move through life in any area of life? And you can literally look for ideas about anything on the internet, right? And you'll find something, whether it's personal fitness or your career or your marriage. There are principles offered. There's advice given in any area if you want to succeed in any area. Now, of course, we know that in most areas of life, we're convinced of this, that in most areas of life, that there are no guarantees. In other words, life has a way of not being formulaic, where if you say, if I do A, B, and C, the result has to be D, right? It doesn't work that way, does it? Because people have minds of their own, and they make decisions that are not decisions that you would make, and they do things and say things that sort of get in the way of this formula that we've put together. If it were that simple, if I just had to do this, that, and the other to ensure that I would be successful, life would be easy, right? And we could guarantee success in any area of life. If starting a business were as easy as 1, 2, 3, as some people would have you believe, you wouldn't have people that go out of business. You wouldn't have people that file for bankruptcy, right? Because if it was a formula, if its success was easy, nobody would fail. But some of you have started your own business, and some of you have recognized the struggle that it is. And even though you think you're doing everything right, still, sometimes it doesn't go the way that you think it should. You do absolutely everything right, and there are still factors that keep that business from taking off. If marriage were simply a matter of, I do this, that, and the other thing, and boom, right? Perfect marriage. It's easy. You know, it's like the Staples easy button. You just want to have a good marriage, just push the easy button. If you do the right things, it's going to happen the way that you want it to happen. But see, people are people. And, you know, when you bring that human element into anything, it brings another whole set of variables, especially into relationships. And relationships can get sticky. And relationships can get complicated. If health and fitness were just a matter of this type of workout compared combined with this type of diet, all of us would be Charles Atlas or Jack LaLanne or whoever is fit now, you know. But it's not that easy. We have weaknesses. And our appetite takes over. And even though I don't want to eat those M&Ms, I end up eating the whole bag, right? And so sometimes we have other physical issues that prevent us from achieving those goals, and things get in the way. It's not a matter of formulas. But just because there are no guarantees doesn't mean that we should ignore principles or ideas that have proven to work for other people. There are things that people would say, you're going to get set yourself up for the best chance of success if you follow this principle and that principle. So I'm sure that you have applied this line of thinking to your own life. You've probably asked, what can I do that will best set me up for success as I try to blank, fill in the blank? What will set me up and give me the best opportunities for success as I strive to do this. Now, like we just recently did in our household, you know, you may be considering getting a puppy, because that's what we did just recently. And when you consider getting a puppy, you're going to quite naturally ask, what will give us the best chance of success if we take this big step, right? So you'd have to work out shared responsibilities among family members. Like, just say, if your wife happened to go to the ladies' retreat for the entire weekend and you were left home with this new puppy, you'd have to consider something like that. Who's going to care for and feed the animal and groom it when it needs and clean up after it when it messes in the house, right? Who's going to remove the things that could get chewed up? Who's going to try and limit the dog to certain areas of the house? You got to plan ahead. You got to buy a crate. You got to have a plan, right? Or maybe you're a high school senior and you're considering your future and you're thinking, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? I've spoken to you about that a lot of times before. I specifically remember being in that situation. And I had no idea what I wanted to do. But there were certain things, certain steps that I took that would give me the best chance, the best opportunity to succeed after high school. If you're planning on going into the sciences, you probably need additional education, right? It's probably something that you should look into. If you're geared more towards working with your hands, maybe you need to find someone who will take you in as an apprentice, kind of show you the ropes. Hands-on training, the school of hard knocks, so to speak, showing you and leading you to do things that maybe you couldn't learn, through school. If you have more of an entrepreneurial spirit, maybe you get an internship with someone who's been successful as an entrepreneur. But you try to do the things that will set you up for the greatest opportunity for success. Maybe, just maybe, you're somewhere on one of the most challenging journeys in all of life. You're on that journey that we call parenting. And you're wondering, and you're thinking, what will be the way that I can best set myself up for success as I raise these children? Now, there is something that we know, and here it is. We know that children, as it says in Psalm 127, it really does say it. There it is. All right. That children are a gift from the Lord, that they are a reward from Him. That is true. And for most of us that have been parents, we would say amen to that, right? There are times when you wonder, you know, how this gift thing is working out. Did you give me a gift that really, right? You know, we've had those thoughts. But as we travel this road of parenting, you're asking, what can I do that will give me the best opportunity to succeed as I seek to raise my kids in a way that will, number one, honor God, but number two, will set them up for success as well. Now, some of you are beyond the stages of parenting, as I am, but I have grandkids, and I'm thinking of this whole idea in those terms as well. How can I set those kids up for the greatest opportunity for success? There we go. So, but here's what I would say, and you may or may not agree with me on this, but I think it's true that, nothing has a greater impact on the direction or the trajectory of a child's life than the relationship that they have with their parents. Nothing has a greater impact on the direction or the trajectory of a child's life than the relationship that they have with their parents. See, I believe, regardless of where you are on this parenting journey, where no matter how old your kids are or your grandkids are at this point, I believe that the relationship you have with your kids will do more to set them up for either success or failure relationally than just about any other relationship that they'll ever have. It's that relationship with their parents. As adults, we can look back on our lives and see that there are at least these three things that have an impact on us as we grow up. First of all, there are relationships. We look back and we see the different relationships we've had, specifically the relationship that we had with our parents, the relationship that we had with God, or the lack of relationship that we had with God, right? The relationships that we've had with others. We recognize how important these things are. We also recognize that one of the things that has a profound impact on us are the choices that we've made. All choices have consequences. Some of us learn that more easily than others, right? But all choices have consequences, and we know that some of our choices have worked for us, and we've had good consequences as a result of the choices that we've made. But some relationships, or some choices, have worked against us. So the choices that we make have a profound impact on us as we grow up. The final thing is our experiences. It's unique for all of us because we all grow up in a different set of circumstances. You have seen and done things that I have not, and vice versa. You've been involved in things that I've not been involved with. You have interests that are different than mine. Some of you have traveled, some have not. Right? Some of you grew up in a nuclear family. Others grew up in a broken family. We've had tons of different experiences. And I think that the combination of these three things, our relationships, our choices, and our experiences, it goes a long way in impacting who we are today. Now, all of this is humanly speaking, right? We recognize that all of this is humanly speaking because we know that not only can God get involved in a life, but God does get involved in our lives. And He works miraculously in lives like yours and mine. He did it with me when I was a 17 or 18-year-old high school senior. And when God got involved in my life, it changed the course of where I was going. Maybe He did that in your life when you were a college student. Maybe it took hitting rock bottom for you before God got your attention. Or maybe, like the majority of believers among us, Jesus began to work in your life at a very young age, primarily through the influence of your parents or your grandparents. And so today, I want to talk about the relationship that we as parents have with our kids. It's an important relationship, and we want to talk about that. So before we begin, I need to let you know that this is quite a challenge for a number of different reasons. But primarily, this is a huge challenge because we sit here today and we have people in the audience. Now, this early service tends to be a little bit more homogeneous, but we have people in every stage of raising kids, right? Some of you maybe don't even have kids yet. Some of you are pregnant and you don't know it yet, right? That's a stage of having kids, right? Some of you are brand new, maybe you're a first-time parent, but there are others seated here this morning that probably have preschoolers or elementary-age kids or junior hires or senior hires. Maybe your kids are in college, maybe they're grown adults and they're all out of the house, but no matter where you are on this journey of raising children, my hope today is that I'm able to motivate you to engage or to re-engage in that process of developing a growing relationship with your kids. Here's something that Andy Stanley said that I read, and I think it's true. He said, the trend of culture is to make our kids experience rich, but relationally poor. The trend of culture is to make our kids experience rich, but relationally poor. In other words, we all want to give our kids the experiences that they want, whether they want to be a soccer star, or they want to be in Little League, or they want to take dance, or it's karate for some kids, you know, or volleyball, or lacrosse, or wrestling. We want to give them those Disney vacations because, well, the other kids are going to Disney, you know. We don't want our kids to miss out on the things that all the other kids are doing. But whatever it is, you name it. But one of the consequences of being that experience rich is that we become so busy pursuing those experiences that we become relationally poor. Think about that for a second. See, there's only a certain amount of time in a given day, a given week, a given month, a given year. There's only a certain amount of time that we each have. And dad and mom are no doubt, for good reason, working hard to earn what it takes to provide all of these experiences, trying to put some money away and save and make it possible to have these experiences. And between work and activities and transporting kids to and from those activities, there's very, very little time that's left for engaging conversations to build those types of relationships. And so that's why when we started this series of messages, we began handing out these table talk placemats in an effort to hopefully get families talking around the table, to put the phones away and to actually talk. And there's more of those placemats that are available at the doors as you leave today. They're stapled in packets of three, so take as many packets as you have people that are seated around your table and use those and talk and find things out about each other, right? But we become tired from schedules that are maxed out, don't we? And I would say, and you may or may not agree with me, but I say that if we raise our kids to be experience rich but relationally poor, we're not going to give them the best opportunity for success relationally in the future. And so I want to give you an idea that I think we all know intuitively, that we all know here, right, but that we need to remind ourselves of, and it's this. That when it matters most, the quality of your relationship with your children will determine the weight of your influence. That's a mouthful. When it matters most, the quality of your relationship with your children will determine the weight of your influence. We know this. If we've had a rocky relationship with our parents or with my dad, how likely am I to go to dad to ask for advice when I'm about to make an important decision? Not likely, right? But if I've had a good relationship with my parents, I'm highly likely to ask for their advice or to ask for their opinion, right? As parents, I think you'll agree that when our kids start making these important decisions in life, decisions like who are going to be my friends, or how they're going to approach their studies, who they're going to date, how far they're going to go when they start dating, you know, all these big decisions, we as parents want to be in a place of influence. We want to have a voice into the lives of our kids when they're making those important decisions. So what I'm saying today is that what determines in large part whether or not we have that place of influence in the lives of our kids is the quality of the relationship that we've built with those kids over the course of time. And so here's what we all know, and here's what we all have experienced if we have raised kids, that the influence that we have in their lives is not primarily dependent on the relationship that we have with them when they're young. Catch that, right? When they're young, the influence that we have in their lives is not necessarily dependent on relationship. It's basically dependent on two things: size, right, and position. When it comes to size, we can get our kids to do what we want them to simply because we're bigger than them, right? And we can control them, right? So if I want my child to get in his car seat and he won't get in his car seat, what do? Pick him up, put him in the car seat, and buckle the latch, right? Because I'm bigger than him. I can do that, right? I can put them in bed. I can physically control them rather easily when they're small. The other one is position, and we've all used this one, haven't we? Why do I have to do that? Because I'm the dad. I have this position of authority. That's why. See, because I can make them eat that broccoli. Question is, how important is it that they eat that broccoli? But we can sit there a long time until they eat that broccoli, right? I can mandate that they go to Sunday school. You're living under this roof. The family goes to Sunday school. You go to Sunday school. Because I'm the dad. That's why. And there's rules in this house, and that's why, right? I can make them say please and thank you when they're little, because I'm the dad, and that's what we do around here. And you're not going to get what you need until you say please and thank you. I can force them to take a bath, right? I put them in the tub and I run water on them, right? I can guarantee that they will conform to my desires for them. Why? Because I'm the dad and I said so. But we all know what the problem is with that, don't we? The problem is that it eventually goes away. And for some of you rather petite moms, it goes away sooner rather than later, right? Our influence on the basis of size and position at best is only temporary. And I will have to tell you that it's been a long time since I have buckled my son into his car seat, right? And he probably has a better chance of stuffing me into the back seat of a car now, because I said so, right? It's a big difference. So if we're not constantly thinking about making that transition from influencing our kids from a standpoint of size and position to influencing them from a standpoint of relationship, I think we're making a huge mistake. Because, again, just at the time when they need us the most, when they're starting to make those really important decisions, we often find ourselves without influence because we didn't make that transition from parenting based on size and position to parenting based on relationship. With no relationship, our kids aren't going to ask us, "Dad, do you think I should date him? Is my dress too short?" There's no relationship that, you know, they're not going to ask those questions. How far is too far? Do you think I should marry him or her? Size and position will do nothing for us then. At that point, it's all about relationship. And so how do we do that? How do we build that kind of relationship with our kids? It's certainly, as we said at the beginning of the message, it's not a matter of just following a formula. Because you and I have both seen kids that were raised in the same household with the same parents, not that many years apart. And one went this way and one went that way. It's not a formula, right? But there's a principle in the scriptures that I want to look at with you this morning that I think helps us a lot in this regard. And it's just one verse. It's a follow-up, to the verses that we looked at last week. But it's found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And it simply says this: "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." And in this one verse, we have both a "do not." That's what it starts with. Do not. We have that. And then we have a "do" when it comes to parenting. And the two are separated by a word of contrast in the middle. Don't do this. Instead, do this. And on the surface, it looks like this verse is directed only towards fathers, because that's what it says, right? Fathers, do not exasperate your children. But I think it's actually directed towards parents, according to one of the best Greek lexicons that we have. It's like in Spanish. If you're a Spanish speaker, padre is the word for father. But if you say tus padres, your fathers, it really means your parents, right? Talking about your parents. And I think that's what Art and Gingrich lexicon says, that it's the same idea here, that it's the idea of fathers. And he starts with the negative. He says, do not. And what he tells us as parents not to do is to exasperate our children. And that word that's translated exasperate by the NIV can also mean to cause, to feel resentment, to make bitter, or to excite to anger. And I think it's important to understand this verse in light of the time when it was written. Because in both the Jewish and the Roman culture of that time, it was extremely common for fathers to sort of rule their families with an iron fist. That what dad said goes, right? They were very domineering as fathers. In his commentary on Ephesians, Leon Morris says that Paul's exhortation to fathers not to exasperate their children would have been an absolutely revolutionary idea in that day. Because it was common in the first century Roman Empire for fathers to do pretty much what they wanted to do in their families. In fact, Leon Morris says that they could even sentence family members to death if they wanted to. Now, that's a big one to hold over your kids, right? You eat that broccoli, right? But this was a revolutionary idea. Paul is saying to these believers in Ephesus, don't exasperate, don't excite your children to anger. That was a huge world of difference than what the culture was saying at the time. You have probably been exasperated as an adult at some point along the way. You may have that certain someone in your life, someone that you work with, someone that you play with, someone that you live with, someone who's a friend or the friend of a friend, that no matter what happens, you always feel like, I just can't win with this guy, you know? We've all had those types of people that no matter how I relate to them, I'm always wrong. You know, I never win with this person. You may know you're right in any given situation, but there are times when people are quicker than us, right? They're smarter than us. They think faster than us. Or maybe they're above us on the corporate ladder, and you can never convince them that you're right and they're wrong. And at the end of every single conversation that you have with a person like that, you're exasperated because you know you're right, but you can never seem to convince them of it. You're always on the defensive, right? You feel like you've somehow got to prove yourself all the time. When you're around that person, you're always like on pins and needles, high alert when this person is around, right? Now, as adults, how do we view those relationships? You look forward to spending time with a person like that? You say, oh man, I hope when they assign the jobs at work, I hope I get to be on their team because they're a lot of fun to work with, right? No, we're not glad when we see them at a social event. We don't go out of our way to spend time with them. No, we avoid them. Why? Because no one wants to be exasperated. No one wants to feel like they're always in a no-win situation. And Paul, in my thinking, seems to be saying, parents, if you're not careful, because you're bigger and because you have the authority, because you have the position, because you have the leverage, because you can always win by playing that one because I'm your father and I said so card, right? You can exasperate your kids. You can make them feel like they're in a no-win situation. And when you do, and when that happens, you may be winning in the short term by getting them to do what you want and by getting them to conform to your wishes. But in the long term, you're losing. You're losing big time. We're losing because a day will come, and that day will come sooner than we think, when size and position is no longer going to matter, and the only leverage that we're going to be having is based on relationship. That's hard. And so we have to ask, what is that relationship going to look like? But there's this word of contrast in the middle of the verse. He says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, now he's going to tell us on the other side of the coin, right? Instead, don't do that. Don't exasperate. Instead, do this. And what he says to do is to bring them up. It's all one word in Greek, to bring them up. And the word literally means to nourish them or to nurture them. And the idea behind the word is to raise a child to maturity by providing not just for their physical needs, but also for their spiritual and emotional needs as well. Bring them up, nurture them, nourish them, bring them up to maturity. And so how are we supposed to do that? Paul says it right there at the verse. He says to do it in the training and the instruction of the Lord. The discipline and instruction of the Lord is what some verses say. And we know this, right? We know that nurturing and nourishing our kids is vastly different than controlling them and getting them to conform. Those are two totally different things. We can get them to conform and do what we say, but that's a far cry from nurturing them and nourishing them. We can do that when they're young, but a day is going to come, and like I said, it's going to be sooner than we think, when that simply is not going to work anymore. We need to be nourishing, we need to be nurturing them so that our leverage will not come from our size or our position, but from the relationship that we have with our kids. And so I trust that we'll never get to that point where our kids feel like they're in a no-win situation. Where if their friends ask them, hey, have you talked to your dad about this? Why would I even bother? That's the last thing in the world we want to hear, right? And so, moms and dads, if you're here today and you are the parent of a junior high or senior high student right now, you are in that transition period. You may still be just a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, and you still may be able to get away with making your kids conform. But you probably already know that that kind of control has less and less leverage in the lives of your kids because you may achieve outward conformity. We talked about this last week, right? talked about the difference between obedience and honor. And honor has to be the basis of our obedience. You may get them to conform outwardly, but you also may be seeing a lot of inward resentment and rebellion at the same time. And so, let me just say that now is the time to get away from parenting according to size and position and to begin parenting on the wealth of the relationship that you're trying to develop with your kids, because we should make no mistake about it, absolutely no mistake, that you will still have to make hard decisions. You'll still have to discipline. You'll still have to correct your kids and guide them. But it can't be from that perspective of size and position. And I know that that's a very scary proposition, isn't it? We like that feeling of control. We like that feeling of authority. But that's not what we can count on. We better not be counting on that, because at best, it's only temporary. I am not trying to make anyone think that as I raised my kids that I, in any sense, did everything right, because I didn't. But I have seen this principle in action, because the goal as kids get older simply cannot be to control them, because there's coming that day, there should come a day, when they'll be making their own decisions. The goal is not control. The goal is influence. The goal is leverage based on a relationship that we have spent our entire lives with our kids building and developing. So parents, if you came from a family where you weren't nurtured and where you didn't see this modeled for you, it's so easy to judge your success as a parent on other things. If you didn't see this modeled for you, you may judge your success on other things. It's so easy for us as dads to say, I'm providing for you. I'm giving you everything you want. What more do you want from me? Right? If that's what was important when we were growing up. Look at the nice clothes you have. Look at the house you live in. I didn't live in a house like this when I was little. Look at the food you eat every day. Look at that smartphone you carry around. What more do you want from me, right? It's easy for moms to say, look at all I do for you. Who washes your clothes? Who cooks your meals? Who makes your bed sometimes, right? Look at all I do for you. But as parents, we have to go beyond that idea of provision. We have to go beyond just doing things for our kids. We have to build those relationships that are going to last for a lifetime. Because we said it earlier on, but I want to remind us again, that when it matters most, the quality of your relationship with your children will determine the weight of your influence. The quality of that relationship will determine the weight of your influence. And that's the goal. The goal is not to be right. The goal is not to control, not to get them to do what you want them to do, but to have influence in their lives when it matters most. And so I share a story with you this morning, not to in any way make it seem like I'm blowing my own horn or that I have done everything right as a parent, because we all know that nothing could be further from the truth. But I share this story to illustrate the truth of what I'm saying this morning, because it happened so recently with me. And so some of you know that my son, Adam, recently took a new job in Wilmington as an accountant. He left his old job. He was an accountant down in Baltimore with a big accounting firm. And he left that job, and when he did, he doesn't like cold weather, so he was looking for a job down south. He wanted to move to either Charleston, South Carolina, or Charlotte, North Carolina, you know, someplace down there where it was more temperate. And so he started searching for jobs in those areas, and as he did, nothing materialized. He had a couple nibbles, a couple bites here and there, but nothing materialized. But as soon as he expanded his search for a job to this area, he got a lot of opportunities. And so eventually, he got offered the job that he took in Wilmington, and he was forced to make that decision. Do I take the job up here? It's not really my first choice. I'd rather live down south. But it's a good job. It's, you know, it'll provide for all these things. Or do I continue to look for a job where I really want to be down south? And so ultimately, as I told you, he ended up taking the job, and he's been working at the job for about 2 months now, about up there in Wilmington. But what I remember most about the job search was getting a call from my son one day when I was in my office. And he said to me, "Dad, are you in your office?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Would it be all right if I stopped by to talk about something with you?" And of course I said, "Sure." And when he came in, I said, "Well, what's up?" You know, and here he wanted to ask my advice about this job. What did I think he should do? And it occurred to me that in that moment, you know, by him asking that one simple, single question, that the time that I had spent nourishing and nurturing a relationship with my son throughout his entire lifetime was now all of a sudden worth it. I hope it's not the only question he ever asks my advice for. But my goodness, what a feeling to know that I was having influence in my son's life in one of the biggest decisions that he was going to have to make to this point in his life. It wasn't about control. I didn't say, "You take that job in Wilmington or else, mister." He wouldn't have listened, right? It wasn't about control. "You take that job, right? Or I'm not talking to you anymore. You take that job or you're out of the will," right? We can try to control, right? But it wasn't about control. It wasn't about bribery. "Oh, please stay here. We'll buy you a really nice car if you stay here," right? It was about influence. It was about influence that was based on a relationship that we had built over the course of Adam's entire life. And so, moms and dads, granddads and grandmas, you know, I want to end this morning by asking you a simple question. I'm sorry, I'm over 5 minutes here. But the question is this: what can I do this week to enhance my relationship with my children now so that when the day comes when I want to be in that position of chief influencer in their lives, I'll have that position of leverage based on that relationship? Because it starts today. It starts today to build that relationship. Will you ask that question no matter how old your kids are, no matter how far away they live? Will you ask that question this week? How can I enhance my relationship with my kids now so that I can look forward to having that position of influence in their lives when, quite honestly, they will need me the most? Let's pray together, shall we? Such a short, simple verse, Lord. Just one sentence. "Don't exasperate your children, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Lord, help us to do that this week. Help us to build that relationship that is so vitally important. We pray that we would give up that desire for control and look forward to building a relationship that will give us the leverage that we really want to have, that influence that we really want to have later in life. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to do that, we pray. Bless us as we go now, Lord. We look forward to the Sunday school hour. Use it to draw us closer to yourself, we pray. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus this week. Amen.